Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Blue Bench Podcast. My name is Gabby Crevett. I'm the communications director with the Montana Democratic Party. This week, our special guest is Ann Hedges, the executive director of MEIC, or the Montana Environmental Information Center. Ann, thanks for being on the show with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, there's a whole lot we want to get into today, but top of mind news just from last week about Northwestern Energy announcing a merger with Black Hills. I first want to ask you your initial reaction to this news and what you and folks at MEIC will be looking for as this process kind of plays out in months to come.
It's interesting, right? We've had the prospect of a merger in the past, and that merger failed because there was real concern that it was not in the best interest of Montanans. Here we have another merger of two South Dakota utilities. I mean, let's be honest, Northwestern's headquarters are in South Dakota, although most of their footprint is in Montana. And they're merging with a utility that is spread across a lot of different states. We would be their eighth state. And that means that our voice is going to be watered down, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I really struggle because while Northwestern employees are terrific and they keep the lights on in the worst of conditions, their executives are greedy and they have been overcharging us in recent years to an astronomical tune. And so I can't defend the status quo. They're making poor choices that are costing customers a lot of money and huge increases in our bills. And we are not, as a society, the average household simply isn't keeping pace. Their income doesn't keep pace with those increases in the cost of electricity for their homes. So this is a mismanaged utility from the top. Great people at the bottom, but from the top, these guys are mismanaged. So it's hard to defend that status quo. I know there's a lot of concern out there for this merger. But I also think we have to take a step back and we need to get a lot more facts about what this actually will mean for Montana. And we will no longer have Northwestern being in the driver's seat because Northwestern is going to, it's a smaller utility, not electric utility, but overall utility. Black Hills is primarily a gas utility. And so they're going to pick up Northwestern and get a bigger customer base for electricity than they have currently. But because they're a much larger utility overall, they're going to get more shares on the board, more board members on the board of directors than Northwestern will. So it puts Black Hills very much in the driver's seat of decision making on resources and how the utility is going to move forward. And so we have a lot of questions, more questions than we have answers, about how to make sure that Montana is protected from poor decisions being made in other states. But we also hope that some of Black Hills' interest in expanding into the renewable energy realm might rub off on Northwestern, because Northwestern doesn't seem to be the slightest bit interested in the cheapest forms of energy that are available to it today. And that is renewables, that is wind, and that is solar. These are far cheaper than what Northwestern wants to invest in and what Northwestern has recently invested in. So merging with the utility that is investing in renewable energy, even if its percentage overall of renewables is lower, Northwestern has a hydro system and waters down its numbers with the hydro system. And that's a 100-year-old system. Those are not new renewables. They are very old clean energy resources. We're happy they have them. But Northwestern is not investing in modern, more affordable energy sources these days. And it's time for them to do so because we cannot continue to sustain these rate increases. Businesses across the state can't continue to sustain those rate increases. So we need a utility that's thinking about the modern energy area as opposed to Northwestern, which is really stuck in the past and looking more at CEO pay than it is at customer rates. So, you know, more to come, but I think it's unclear right now. I think there's some pluses and minuses, but I think a lot of it's going to be up to our Public Service Commission to make sure that the right protections are in place for Montanans.
And that's leading me to my last question just about this topic, because it sounds like we have more questions than answers right now, but mm-hmm. Can you help us understand what exactly the PSC's role is in this merger? Like, what is the extent of their authority, and how much do you expect them to fight for Montana ratepayers in this process?
Oh, I expect them to fight for Montana ratepayers. That's why they get paid the big bucks. I mean, they earn a hefty salary, and that is the purpose, is to make sure that they're looking out for Montana. So how it's going to unfold, we're going to have to see what Northwestern's application looks like. But I absolutely expect the Public Service Commission to look out for our best interests, which that means making sure that we aren't somehow subsidizing other states, and that we are protected and insulated from poor decisions being made elsewhere. So I'm sure that other states want the same exact thing, and they're going to insist their utility commissions do the same thing. And I think we all need to join together and make sure that this merger is good for the people in each individual state and not just for the utility executives.
Great. So I want to switch gears for a moment and ask you about something that has really caught the attention of MDP staff. I know we've talked about this a lot. So the Montana Public Service Commission, or the PSC, what we were just talking about, is planning a public meeting at some point, I think, focused around data centers and AI-related energy concerns. So can you walk us through what MEIC's core concerns are regarding this rapid expansion of data centers in Montana, specifically around energy loads and utility infrastructure?
You know, a year ago, if somebody had asked me what are the biggest threats to both the grid and to Montana utility bills and affordability of our electric system, data centers might not even have been on the list. Now they're top of the list, because there's a lot of hype. You know, it's very much like the dot-com bubble. It's like the whole housing crisis leading up to the housing crisis. It's a lot of hype and a lot of people trying to get rich quick. But in fact, it's not clear that it's not clear that there's any there. These data centers we know are shopping around to states. They're looking for the best deal. They're looking for the lowest taxes, for the cheapest and most available water. They require a lot of water. Let's not just talk about energy here, but let's make sure we focus on their water needs, because they are significant. And Montana's already allocated, right? There is no extra water in this state. So where's the water going to come from? With data centers, they're going to need generation. They're going to need power. Who's going to generate that power? Who's going to pay for that power? You know, these data centers are coming on strong, but they are looking in each state for the best deal. And they are making these little press releases, and Northwestern is definitely making these press releases because it sees dollar signs. It sees revenue coming to its executives and its shareholders. And the customer base should be very, very concerned about this, because as these guys shop around, they go to Idaho, they go to Washington, they go to Oregon, they go to Montana, they go to the Midwest, they're going to land wherever they get the best deal. And we shouldn't be making sure that they get the best deal on the backs of Montanans. And by the best deal, I mean paying the lowest taxes, not providing many jobs, because jobs are always overestimated with data centers, always. There are not that many jobs associated with them. Per square foot, there is no industry that has so few jobs associated with it. These are massive facilities full of computers. So there's just so many pieces that we need to be careful of. It's not that we don't all use our phones. It's not that AI is inherently bad. It's that AI should be being done on our terms. And state after state after state is realizing the exact same thing. Montana is way behind the curve of other states. Just today, I heard that Colorado has passed a new rule to limit data centers. Not to limit them so much as to say, you're going to come to Colorado on our terms. Here are the parameters by which you are allowed in our state. And Montana is not doing that. That's what needs to be done. We don't need to say, hey, let's throw the doors open, let these guys come in, and then let's have customers pay billions of dollars for new power plants to serve them. Not just power plants, but transmission and distribution lines. Somebody has to pay for all this. And I can guarantee that Amazon, Meta, you know, Microsoft, these guys are in the habit of not paying if they don't have to. So I fought these guys in the legislature in the last couple sessions. They want a good deal, and we need to make sure that good deal isn't just good for them, but it's also good for customers. We need the PSE to stand up for us. The PSE started down that path at the beginning of this year. Katie Sullivan, Representative Sullivan, had a really simple bill that just required these data centers to have to annually report their energy usage to the Public Service Commission, so that we could do some planning in the state for what is the energy demand of these facilities. That bill never even made it out of committee, but I heard through the grapevine that bill was the impetus for the Public Service Commission to turn around and send a letter to Northwestern Energy and said, what is it that you're doing with these data centers? And by the way, you have to come to us. We are responsible for ensuring that the law is followed, and the law requires the Public Service Commission to make sure that existing customers are not harmed by a big facility like that coming onto Northwestern system. So the PSC should be the gatekeeper on these facilities. The PSC sent a letter to that effect and asked Northwestern to respond. Northwestern's response was nonsense. It was gobbledygook. It didn't say anything. It said, there's nothing to see here. Ignore the man behind the curtain. And then nothing happened. The PSC hasn't done anything. And we keep getting these press releases in which Northwestern is touting all these data centers that they want to have, that they want to serve. And, we're talking, there's over 3,000 megawatts worth of data centers that have announced proposals in this state. Remember, Northwestern only serves about 750 average megawatts of power to its existing customer base. 750 is the existing number, and there's 3,000 megawatts of proposed new demand from data centers. Where is that power going to come from, and who's going to pay for it? I mean, Colstrip is only 1,500 megawatts total with all of the owners. That's what's left. So
Oh.
we don't have that power available for these data centers. And that means that these data centers are anticipating that Northwestern is going to build a bunch of generation and charge us for it as existing customers, and they'll charge them too. But we are the ones who are going to have to pick up the tab to make new power plants and transmission lines for the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world. That shouldn't be the case. And then, if it's not the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, but it's some fly-by-night facility, and they're gone in a couple years, we as existing customers will still have to pay off that power plant. It's just like a mortgage. Just because you move out doesn't mean you don't get a stop. It doesn't mean you can stop paying your mortgage. You still have to pay. So customers that are stuck here, captive customers, are going to get caught having to pay all of these extra costs if we are not careful. And that's what the PSC is for. That's where the PSC started to go earlier this year. They've been quiet until recently when President Molnar said that they want to investigate these. They want to pull Northwestern in and ask them questions. I don't know when that is going to occur. I'm very much looking forward to it. I am worried that this PSC might not have the backbone to follow up and stand up to Northwestern Energy. Very concerned about that. But I also heard that the Public Service Commission is going to be coming out with a letter in the next week or so to Northwestern, asking them more questions and saying, in fact, this is a rumor, but saying, you've got to come to us. My question is, if Northwestern doesn't and thumbs its nose at the Public Service Commission, what will the Public Service Commission do? Because without enforcement of our laws by the Public Service Commission, our laws don't mean anything. We're seeing that at the federal level in spades. So this is something that we're seeing, it could play out in the same way, and that would result in really big increases in customer bills on top of the big increases we've already seen in customers' electricity bills. And it makes a state that's unaffordable. And then you have businesses fleeing the state for cheaper power. So
Wow.
that's a lot. I'm sorry.
It's a lot. I have so many follow-ups. I don't even know where to start. So let me just tell you this picture you've painted. I feel like it's this massive tsunami just kind of in like on the horizon, and it's just Looming. And anyways, you mentioned last year at this time, this data centers were not really on your radar. Why are they such an issue now?
Because AI has become a thing, and AI is this ubiquitous term. It can mean a whole host of things, artificial intelligence. And there's ways that artificial intelligence may be beneficial for us as consumers, but there's a lot of ways that artificial intelligence might not be good for us. I think we're hearing more and more stories about that. But a search on ChatGPT, for example, which is just a very moderate energy user for AI systems is takes about 10 times more energy than a traditional Google search because they have these really high-end computers that have to pull all sorts of data and run these computations very, very quickly in order to spit back the answer to you in record time. So it's just the consolidation of so much information and having to process that in such a quick millisecond that causes these computers to use an enormous amount of energy like we've never seen before. But I want to also talk about the inevitability of this because I don't think all of this is inevitable. I think that a lot of this is hype. I think whenever you have something like this where there's a lot of money flowing into it, you have a lot of shysters enter the space and want to build data centers and hoping that they can sell it to Mark Zuckerberg. You do have a lot of people who are trying to get rich quick. And so I think a lot of this is hype. I think a lot of these data centers that are being proposed all over the nation, including in Montana, will never come to be. We just have to make sure that we're not paying for these mistakes or feet, just falling for this line of, you look so beautiful tonight. How about, subsidizing my big data center plant? And so really, all these things are giant warehouses of computers. For the average person, that's all they need to think about is a giant warehouse full of computers that are running computation to answer your questions that you put in the Google chat or to do calculations and pull data together from a number of places in other types of Google type applications. So AI has a lot of potential to be good. It has a lot of potential to be bad. We are not regulating AI at all. But we also see, and I think this is where we always sell ourselves short, that as a nation, as a species, we are innovative, we are smart, we are creative, we have the ability to do things better. So earlier this year, a Chinese company came up with something called DeepSeek. A company's called DeepSeek, and they figured out how to run the same type of computations in using much, much, and much, much less energy. So I think if we could put our heads together and say, how do we do this? How can we get this same type of positive outcome? We don't want the negative ones. There's negative outcomes for sure. But if we can get the same positive outcomes that AI presents to us using less energy, less water, figure out how to better cool these systems because that's what they use the water for. We're going to be in a better spot. And then we can sell that innovation all over the world. But that's what we should be looking for. We shouldn't be assuming that these projected growth curves of all these utilities are going to continue for decades to come. That's absurd. We are more innovative than that as a species. And we are going to cut these, even if AI continues with this, to meet this big craze, if it meets the moment and it really does come to pass, which I doubt on this scale. But if it does, I think we're going to be better at it down the road. We shouldn't just assume that utilities models for endless energy needs is going to remain. We need to be cautious.
Just a quick follow-up. Since we were talking about this merger, how do you think this merger might play into some of this discussion about the data centers?
It's quite clear that both of the utilities are interested in data centers. They listed it as one of their the reasons they want to merge, and one of the things they want to do is serve data center load. And of course they do. I mean, utilities are not benign entities working in the public interest to benefit America, right? They are corporations that have to provide revenue to their shareholders. That is their job. There's nothing wrong with that job. That is the system we have. But we have designed a system in which they have to make themselves subject to the Public Service Commission regulation to temper their monopolistic tendencies. If they're going to be allowed to be a monopoly, then we've got to say, you do that on our terms. So while utilities love the concept, I mean, just adore this, all over the country, the concept of this giant increase in energy demand and being able to build really big, expensive projects to feed that demand, and then to charge customers more money to pay for those new power plants and transmission lines, that's money in the bank for them. They love it.
Right.
That's why we need a utility commission to temper those monopolistic tendencies to earn revenue for shareholders. And we should be demanding of every one of our commissioners. I mean, if anybody takes anything away from this conversation, it is call your commissioner and say, I don't want to pay for Mark Zuckerberg's data centers. I don't want to pay for higher electricity costs to provide power to a data center that's going to be feeding data to China. I don't want to give water to a data center that is not going to provide much benefit to the state of Montana. Because remember, these guys have slowly been winnowing away over the years at their property tax rate. So their property tax rate is really low. So there's not even that much tax revenue associated with these things. So we need people to be telling the Public Service Commission to do its job.
I have to ask, I mean, how are we letting this get so far? I mean, how is it that the alarms are not ringing already? It sounds like the only people to gain are the utility company and the executives associated with that. I mean, are there other people that stand to gain from the system as it is now? Why hasn't this been, why aren't people sounding the alarm right now?
Money talks, first off. So these days, data centers are well financed and they have the ability to fly, the head of the mayor and city council members to another data center in another state and wine and dine them. Money talks. And they talk about all the thousands of jobs that are going to be created. But And I will say, I think labor's in a pickle because I think labor's interested in data centers for exactly that reason. There are some jobs associated with them. But there aren't very many jobs. Let's be clear. There are some construction jobs initially, but these are prefab facilities by and large. There's a prefab manufacturer for data centers in Lewistown, Montana. They testified during the session. So they're making some money, but laborers aren't going to earn that much money because these are prefab. There will be some electrical work, definitely for the setup. So there will be some initial jobs. But overall, what we've seen all over the country is these grossly inflated estimates of how many jobs will be created. And the reality is a small fraction of that. So, these guys can say anything they want. And I think it's only been in the last 6 months that people have started calling BS on it all over the country. And now you have utility commissions hauling utilities in and saying, whoa, 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 whoa. We need a new rate class for you. You do have the possibility of really harming existing customers. And the water issue all over the country is starting to become a real concern because it turns out as the climate changes and we face more droughts and severe weather, that water resources are in shorter supply. And so these data centers gobbling up water resources should be a huge red flag for every agricultural producer out there.
Wow, even more layers.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. You've mentioned the PSC and their responsibility in all of this. You've talked about the legislature a little bit. What more can our state legislators be doing right now to make sure Montana gets on the right track?
Demanding answers. Seriously, Northwestern is supposedly signing agreements with these companies. We should be demanding that those agreements be provided to elected representatives so we can see if Montanans are getting a good deal. They should be demanding to know where the water's going to come from. Our elected officials should be demanding to know how their constituents are going to be insulated from the added costs of adding a data center and the generation that accompanies it, they should, every legislator should be asking serious questions and demanding answers from our utility and from the Public Service Commission about how their constituents are going to be protected from the big dogs in our society, you know, the people who have all the wealth, the Metas and Googles and Amazons. These are the guys who are behind these data centers, and we shouldn't have to subsidize them.
Okay. I want to ask you right now about impacts. Are we seeing the impacts of this right now already, or is the worst yet to come with impacts?
Worst is yet to come. absolutely. But I do think we already are seeing some of those impacts. I think this merger between Northwestern and Black Hills is one of those impacts, is they're trying to get a bigger share of the market for data centers. And I think we're seeing Northwestern include this in its growth projections. And Colorado just passed, supposedly, I haven't seen it in writing yet, but passed something said they are not allowed, the utility is not allowed to include those growth protections in its projections and its planning until there is a signed agreement, and that there are exit fees for these companies if they actually don't come through, in order to offset the cost that customers are going to have to pick up because we're going to remain in the system. So I mean, I think that there's a lot of things we can do and should do. But we need brave elected officials to help us navigate this world and make sure that we're not subsidizing these guys.
This really does seem like a very nonpartisan issue, and it's in everybody's best interest to advocate for Montanans right now.
You know, what's to me most fascinating is the people who keep bringing up water issues are Republicans. They did during the session. They did at a recent water policy interim committee. I think that Republicans, as you know, at least in the legislature, there a lot of them are in the ag sector, and I think they understand that without water resources and their ability to exercise their water rights, that they're out of business. So I do think that there's some of that. I just think that everybody should be concerned about this and make sure that we have policies in place to protect customers. Because these guys don't have our best interests in heart. They don't. And they're not supposed to. That's why we have the regulatory system that we have. Regulators are supposed to be looking out for us.
Yeah, I mean, this is just blowing my mind, I'll be honest. Like, this wasn't on my radar a few months ago, you know, and I can't imagine it's on very many people's radar right now. I mean, where everybody's just trying to get by right now, just trying to pay the bills. It's hard to even imagine utility bills going up even more. So.
Right. So we have, you know, it just bills raised less than 2 years ago, 28%. And then, you know, they fluctuate every quarter a little bit based upon fuel costs, but they went up 28% at that moment in time. And they've stayed high. And now there's a 20% increase on the table that the Public Service Commission is deciding right now. And this is without data centers. And then we have a utility that's in the middle of its regular planning process. Our laws, every state has a similar law where utilities are required to plan for the future. And 20 years into the future, what is the demand going to be for energy? And how are they going to meet those goals? Northwestern's going through that process right now. And we should say that you can't assume data center growth in that, because when they do, that means they also assume that they need a whole lot more power plants. And power plants, we've just learned from Northwestern's current rate case, Northwestern gold plates those power plants to eke as much money out of its customers, to benefit its shareholders as it possibly can. It chose the most expensive, next to nuclear, the most expensive type of power generation to locate in Montana and make us pay for. And nobody is happy about that except for Northwestern. So if you think that's bad, if you think a $2 billion gas plant near Laurel is a, you know, expensive, just wait. Because if they also say that all this data center load growth is inevitable and needs to be planned for, it sets them on the path of acquiring more generation at even higher costs. And we need to be really careful. People can't afford this.
So one more question for you, Anne. This is about the so-called Big Beautiful Bill that, of course, our all Montana Republican congressional delegation supported as it made its way through Congress. But Montanans, as we already discussed, are struggling with higher energy bills. And Trump's Big Beautiful Bill is said to increase energy costs while destroying opportunities for clean energy in the future. What will that look like in Montana? Are we already starting to feel those impacts, or has that happened yet?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be paying for the big, beautiful bill, both in our rates. If you think rates are high now, just wait, because what this administration and our absentee landlord congressmen are doing is they are guaranteeing that rates are going to rise because they have picked the winner in the energy race, and they have picked the most expensive form of energy that they could. They're picking nuclear. They're picking, which doesn't even exist yet. Let's be real. They're picking some new form of nuclear that has never been built in the United States before. So, Bill Gates is looking at a $10 billion facility down in Wyoming. $10 billion. Think about that. I mean, we're upset about $2 billion. $10 billion for a small nuclear facility. They're putting all of our money, our taxpayer money, into that. They are forcing coal plants, which have been around for decades, have cherry-picked the cheapest coal, are old, need a lot of upgrades, don't have adequate pollution controls, aka Colstrip. And they are saying that's the energy we're going to get. And all of these renewable energies, we're going to crush them. And that's what they're doing. They are crushing wind and solar, which are the cheapest forms of energy we have available to us right now. That's insanity. But yet, clearly, we know who's paying for their campaigns, because there's no other reason that you would pick the loser, because these are the losers. These are the old technologies that we've had for a long time. They harm people's health, they put out toxins. Harm people. They cause harm. Who wants to drink a bunch of arsenic-laden water? Nobody. But in fact, that's what we're saying. Go right ahead and put more arsenic and lead into the air. Under the laws that we have today, the Colstrip plant was supposed to reduce its toxic emissions by 50%. And what we're doing, what Congress is doing, what Trump is doing, is saying, never mind. Don't cut your emissions by 50%, even though everybody else already has. This is nuts. These guys are forcing us to buy the most expensive forms of power. They are crushing an emerging industry in this state where there are a lot of jobs, and a lot of job potential. And they're saying, never mind, we don't want you. And they are driving businesses out of the state because that is going to lead to higher energy bills. And we've already had one business in Butte close up shop because they couldn't afford the cost of electricity in the state. They went to a cheaper market. So these guys are driving away business. They're driving up the average homeowner's utility bills. They're forcing us to breathe dirtier air. They're forcing agriculture to deal with water that has higher levels of salts, which is really bad for ag and aquatic life. These guys are harming us because these big donors ask them to, and that should be unacceptable to everybody. You want to see your energy bills? Just sit back. You want to see them rise? Just sit back and watch the show, because that is exactly what's happening. But if you don't want them to keep doing this, call them and tell them that. They need to hear from their constituents. They should not be able to be these absentee landlords that are afraid of their constituents. We should bring it to them.
It's a great point. My next question was going to be, what should people be doing right now after they listen to this podcast, after they learn everything that I've learned today talking with you? What's the next move? It sounds like call your congressman, call your senator, call your PSC district. I mean, is that what you're
Yeah, I mean,
recommending?
These are your elected representatives. They are the people who are in office that are supposed to be representing you. And start with your Public Service Commission because they have the most direct control over your rates, over your electricity rates, your gas rates. Call them and say, stop it. Just stop it. Northwestern should not get whatever it wants just to pay their CEO $4.8 million a year. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not earning $4.8 million a year. He is. And he's making bad choices and raising our rates. And what you can see the correlation between when Northwestern's rates go up, so does the CEO's pay. And it's not proportional to the amount of money, the cost of living that people have to deal with. It's crazy. It's absolutely insanity. We have a broken system. Call the PSC and tell them that. Say, look out for me. Northwestern has enough lobbyists and lawyers and chief executives. Nobody's looking out for us, the little guy. So do that. Call Daines. Sheehy will do whatever Daines tells him is my impression. I don't think Sheehy has a mind of his own. Zinke and Downing, they may care about public lands, but not really because they're selling all of our public lands to the fossil fuel industry who's going to tie them up for decades. And we're not going to be able to access those lands. So maybe they'll come back to us in poorer condition in 50 years, but I'll be dead. I want to use my public lands now. And they don't seem to care about that. So I think we need to really hammer on our elected officials to look out for look out for us, those people who have to live here and pay the bills.
All right, on that note, I want to thank you, Anne, for joining the Blue Bench podcast. I know I've learned a lot. I know our listeners are going to learn a lot as well. So thank you again for joining us today.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much.